are listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Brothers and sisters, I'm feeling real good because it ain't over.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Hello and praise the Lord. I pray that everybody is doing well today. We just want to thank God for you tuning again once again to Kingdom Sounds, a radio broadcast ministry of Victory International Praise Ministries. We are here every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. in the studio of WMIE-FM Radio Dial. We thank God for Pastor Paul and the WMIE staff. Our pastor and our apostle send you greetings today. Apostle Thomas Robinson, along with Pastor Teresa Robinson, send you greetings and welcome you to come to the house of God. Victory International Praise Ministries is located at 250 North Babcock Street, almost where Babcock and US 1 connect, in the city of Melbourne, Florida. If you have been shut in, social distancing, wearing your mask, bring your mask and come to the house of God. There's plenty of hand sanitizer and you can sit as socially distanced as you need to. But come to the house of God and receive a living word from the Lord. So I just want to say God bless you to everybody tuning in today. Thank God to be with you again. I am Evangelist Andre Jordan, and it is a blessing to be alive today and to be able just to share nuggets from the Lord that he has given us with you. So today, Father, thank you so much for your people that have ears to hear, eyes to see, that can discern the times that we are living in, Father. And I thank you for the word of encouragement you have for me and the people of God on today, and those that don't know you, but you've divinely caused them to come across this radio dial so that you might intersect their lives, Father, and bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So the word of the Lord today is the thought of God today that he's given me and to share is, don't fumble your faith. I'm just going to let that sit for a minute. Don't fumble your faith. That is the thought that God has given me to share on today. Don't fumble your faith. Don't fumble your faith. Don't fumble your faith. Don't allow your faith to fumble. And so, you know, when you think about fumbling, most of us think about sports, I would imagine. You think about a football play. There were some great wins this past weekend. Don't fumble your faith. So you think about fumbling, you think mostly with football, with sports, and how the ball is thrown to whoever is receiving it, and they're looking at the ball, their hands are open, and every once in a while, either through an attack from an opposing team player or through player mishap, the ball is fumbled. And the Lord is speaking to us today, and the Lord is saying to us today, listen, do not allow the attack of the enemy. Do not allow surprise attacks. Do not allow unforeseen challenges. Do not allow anything to cause you to let your faith fumble. Don't fumble your faith. So God wants to encourage us today to hold fast to our faith. hold fast to your faith. Why? Because God is our King. Ain't nothing changed. Excuse my vernacular there. Nothing has changed. God is still our King. God is still on the throne. God is still in control. What more can I say? Don't allow your faith to fumble. Don't fumble your faith. Don't stumble in faith. Hold fast to your faith. And I even want to stick with the football analogy, the sports analogy, and say, keep your faith in a football hole where you tuck it in and bring it close to your body and it's secure, like in, they say, the pocket. Don't fumble your faith. Hallelujah today. Praise God. Let us go into the Word of God and let us start. I believe we're going to start with Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And we're going to begin at verse 38. Give me 1 second as I flip through the scripture myself. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, let us go. So, not Luke chapter 10 that began to tell us who the sisters were, but it's John 11, 1. Praise the Lord. John 11, 1. That's where we will begin in the text today that is supporting the thought from the Lord. Don't allow your faith to fumble. Don't fumble your faith, but instead hold fast to your faith. Okay, so we're beginning in the book of John, chapter 11, starting right there at verse 1. And it reads, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He, Lazarus, was from Bethany. It was the village of Mary and his sister and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, she was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord out of the alabaster box, and she was the one that wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, and I'm reading out of the NIV version, Lord, the one you love is sick. The one you love, the one that has a relationship with you, he is sick. When Jesus heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Okay, so the sisters, Jesus was well acquainted with this family. Lazarus was a friend. We know the story, the backstory of Mary that I started to start off with in Luke chapter 10. Jesus knew this family. These were friends of his, ministry friends of his. And so when the sisters sent word, the word came to Jesus, and Jesus, who is the Word, the living Word of God, spoke a word. Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. This sickness is not unto death, but this sickness is for God to get the glory, for God's Son, Jesus, to be glorified through this. Verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Amen. Jesus loves you and me. Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. He stayed where he was 2 additional days. Jesus loved Mary, Martha, Lazarus. These, again, I'm going to say it, these were ministry friends. He was well acquainted with them. They were appealing. Somebody send for Jesus. What about this? Sometimes we think somebody call 911. Jesus is the 911. Mary and Martha sent out a 911 for the spiritual physician, for the physical physician, for the physician of all things, the chief physician. So they sent the 911 call. Jesus receives the message. Jesus declared, "This sickness is not unto death, but that God would be glorified and Jesus, his son, would be glorified through it." So let's go further. After the two additional days, then Jesus said to his disciple, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said to Jesus, "a short while ago, the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there?" Jesus answered, verse 9, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." Remember, this is the NIV version. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." This is good to me. Hallelujah. Okay, so Jesus gets into a little bit of a discourse with his disciples. One, at the appointed time, Jesus says, "Now let us go back to Judea." And the disciples are like, "Huh? The last time we was in Judea, someone tried to stone you. Did you forget? You going back? Where the people are against you, where the people don't want you, where the people want you out of their city, where the people don't receive you, yet you're going back?" But Jesus says, in other words, he is keeping the assignment of God. He talks about daylight. He talks about a man not stumbling. Stumbling is another word for fumbling. He talks about seeing by this world's light. He talks about walking by night, that a man stumbles because he has no light. But Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus was filled with the Spirit of God. So now Jesus says to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going there to wake him up." My God, how many people do we know that have fallen asleep spiritually that we need Jesus to come in and wake up? Wake us up. It applies. This word applies today. Have you fallen asleep spiritually? Have I fallen asleep spiritually? I'm not excluded. Do I need Jesus, the light of the world, to come in and wake me up so that I don't stumble, so that my faith won't fumble? I won't fumble my faith. Verse 12, his disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps," referring to Lazarus, "he will get better." Jesus had been speaking or referring to Lazarus's death, but his disciples thought he meant a natural sleep. So then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." So Jesus had to break it down and translate in plain English. He is not naturally sleeping in the bed. The man Lazarus is dead. I'm glad I was not there for your sake, because perhaps if Jesus had been there for their sake, they might have thought, oh, he wasn't truly dead. But at this point, the way the Lord orchestrated for it to happen. There was no confusion as to Lazarus was a dead man. So let us go. Verse 16. Then Thomas, which was known as Didymus, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us go that we may die with him." Because Thomas, who we know was called Doubting Thomas, is thinking back to where the disciples said they tried to stone you the last time you were in Judea. So Thomas makes a comment, "Let us go too, that we may die with Lazarus," as if going back means a certain death. Verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus, just like he had said, had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Okay, so God is setting the stage for manifestation. So Jesus and the disciples go back to Judea. When Jesus arrives, he finds that Lazarus has already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha. Many Jews had come to Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. But Martha, when she heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed home. Mary didn't go to meet Jesus. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." She had faith that if Jesus had been there, if somehow he had rushed when they sent the appeal, when they sent up the 911, if he had been there, she said, "my brother would not have died." She had faith to believe in the, "if you had been present, Jesus, he wouldn't have died." And Martha goes on and says, "but I know even now, God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus said unto her, "your brother will rise again." Martha answers, "I know he will again in the resurrection." She had faith for the resurrection. She said, "I know he will again in the resurrection at the last day." She had faith for the resurrection. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And Martha answered, "yes, Lord." She told him, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. And she spoke to Mary. She said, "the teacher is here." So she let Mary know, "Jesus is here," Martha said, "and he is asking for you." So when Mary heard this, Mary got up quickly and she went to Jesus. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met and spoke to him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her, notice how quickly that Mary got up, she went out, and the Jews began to follow her, the Jews that had been there in the house mourning and comforting her. They followed her, supposing that she was going to Lazarus' tomb and that she was going to mourn there. So they were going to follow her and comfort her and mourn with her and grieve with her and support their friend. Verse 32, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet. Because we know from history, Mary was one that worshiped at his feet. Mary was one that poured the oil out of the alabaster box, the oil that was worth so much money in that day. She was willing to forsake worldly possessions that she might worship at his feet, that she might receive from him that which is spiritual that supersedes our worldly possessions. So again, Mary, she fell at his feet and she said, Lord, same words almost as Martha, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So faith in God's presence, had you been here, I know he wouldn't have died had you been here, Lord. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had came along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and he was troubled. He asked a question. Jesus said, where have you laid him? And they replied, come and see, Lord. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. Oh, the Jews saw Jesus weeping and they thought within themselves, oh, he must have really loved him. Look at him crying. He really loved him. See him weeping. He really loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? So some were moved when they saw Jesus weeping. Others, there's always the haters. They said, couldn't he, this is the one that opened the eyes of the blind man, couldn't he have kept this man from dying? Okay. Jesus, we're at verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid over the entrance. Take away the stone, Jesus said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister, Lazarus' sister, by this time, there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? Jesus told her that when she ran to meet him before he even got into the village of Bethany. Jesus had to remind her, if you recall what I talked to you about, and I said to you that I was the resurrection and the life, didn't I tell you? That's a good point right there. What has God told you? What has God already spoken? Don't fumble your faith. Don't allow your faith to fumble. Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, if you hold fast to your faith, if you tuck it in the football hold, if you cling to your faith and don't let it go, if you cling to the word of the Lord, Logos and Rhema, if you cling to what he said, your faith will sustain you. Your faith will cause you to walk in the victory that he has for you. Your faith will cause you to walk in what he has promised you. Your faith will cause you to possess the promised land. Hold fast to your faith. Don't allow your faith to fumble. Don't fumble your faith. So verse 44. So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up to heaven and he said, Father, he prays a prayer to our Father. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people, those that are standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Take off the grave clothes and let him go. Don't fumble your faith. The sisters almost wanted to fumble and stumble because Jesus didn't do it like the way they desired, because it didn't happen the order and the way that they desired. They thought, we called you, we sent the 911 to come. You didn't rush over here. Had you rushed over here when we told you, our brother would not have died. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. If you believe in me, you will see the glory of God. Today, people of God, today, those of you that are divinely listening to this radio broadcast, Kingdom Sounds, this is the Kingdom Sound. This is the word of the Lord today. Don't fumble your faith. Don't allow your faith to fumble, but hold on fast. Hold fast to your faith. Believe the word of the Lord. Believe the rhema, the spoken word of God. Believe what God has said to you, and you shall see the glory of God. Jesus will show up in your situation. Jesus will show up in that matter. Don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved what's going on today. Hold fast to your faith. Don't allow your faith to fumble. In the very beginning, I said, why? Because God is on the throne. God is not moved by the affairs of men. God is supreme. All power is in his hand. So we must hold fast to our faith. Our faith is in God. Our faith is not in the political arena and system. Our faith is in God. God is our King. He is in control. Everything is filtered through his hands. Everything must get his permission. Everything is subjected to him. Let us, body of Christ, hold fast to our faith in God. Let us hold fast to the word of God. Let us hold fast to what God has declared for us over our life, over our children, over our ministries, over our marriages, over our jobs, over our businesses, over our country, over our state, over our city, over our county. Don't allow your faith to fumble. You are too close to making a touchdown to fumble now, to stumble now, to backstep now. Hold fast to your faith. Hallelujah. Let me say this. Faith does not focus on what it sees. Remember the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We're not focused on what it looks like. We're not focused on what our eyes see in the natural. Our focus is that we're looking unto Jesus. We're looking unto this written word, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. We're looking into that. We're speaking words of life. We're speaking words of faith. We're speaking words that align with what the scripture says or what God has said prophetically in our lives. We're speaking those words. Hold fast to your faith. Don't allow your faith to fumble. Do not fumble your faith. Do not fumble with your faith where you drop the ball because you take your eyes off God, because you take your eyes off the word, because you take your eyes off the truth of God's word and what he said, and you put it on.